J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I have an entire list of Disney stuff here.
Okay.
As we get ready for our big giveaway starting Monday morning. As soon as you know the movie, you yell it out.
Ooh, I may not be very good at this at all.
Well, good then, John. Kick her ass. Go ahead.
I'll try, JC.
She didn't have sparks to gang up on us.
Go
okay?
Easy on me.
I'll do my best.
Right, lone so chick in the studio.
See how you do here. As soon as you know the movie, go.
Be.
Oh. Ooh, Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
John. Beauty and the Beast.
That's the second best Disney movie ever.
Keep score.
Okay. Oh, great.
She was right. If I say she's right, does that mean that, well, I knew it?
All right, Sean. Here you go. Here's number two.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Dance with music. Music. Sound of music. No.
Mary Poppins is right.
I'm sure that was some quality radio right there. As we freak out.
All right, here we go. John.
Look for the bare necessities. The simple
Winnie the Pooh.
Did you
Jungle
say?
Jungle Book is right. John, are you in the house much?
I just can't get that stuff fast. I don't know. All right, come on. I can't get shut out.
Oh, God. All right, let's see here.
Jungle Book 2 is out, too. I got to go see that again.
Ready?
I know. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Big bad wolf, big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Three Little Pigs, but I don't know what the name of it is.
That's enough. I have no idea what it is. I shouldn't have used that one.
That's a cartoon. That's not a movie.
I'm giving myself a point anyway.
All right, here's an easy one. Here we go. Give me a hint. It's Randy Newman.
Yeah, I know that.
You got a friend.
Is it Monsters, Inc.?
Nope.
You got a friend.
The other one.
The other one.
Monsters, Inc.
Toy Story.
I couldn't think of it. Oh.
I'll give you a hint on this one. This is Jason Alexander of Seinfeld. Here we go.
A guy like you. She's never known, kid. A guy like you. A girl does not meet every
it's
day.
It's not Quasimodo, is it?
You got a...
It is. It's a hunchback of Notre Dame. By the way, listen to this.
Could there be two like you? No way.
He's not bad.
Other guy.
Everybody on Seinfeld sings. Listen to this right here.
Same from every boring point of view.
Who knew that Jason Alexander could sing?
Did Lori get that right?
Lori got that right.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. John?
Chicks 5, Dudes Zither.
Here we go.
The Lion King.
Yeah. John gets on the board.
I was going to say Survivor, but then I remembered it's not a Disney product.
It does
product.
Kind of sound like that.
Survivor. It's the only thing they don't know. Here we go.
A Lion King.
Very good. Just can't wait to be king. As long as I keep giving John Lion King.
I just watched it the other day with my daughter.
As long as I keep giving John Lion King questions, he's doing well.
Hakuna
Lion King.
Lion King.
Lion King.
Oh, damn it. I wasn't ready.
I'm just going to say Lion King first from now on.
I wasn't ready.
All right, here's the next one.
Lion King.
You're right. She's just yelling out Lion King. She's trying to
kill me.
All right, here we go.
Lion King.
No. Ooh.
Oh.
Bill
oh,
Collins.
Oh,
yeah, the other.
Don't say the other one.
The Indian girl.
It's not
Pocahontas. Nakasima. Yeah, Pocahontas.
No.
Mulan.
No.
No. Tarzan.
Tarzan is right.
Damn it.
See, I didn't see these newer ones.
Pocahontas. No.
No.
The same one.
Tarzan?
Tarzan.
Got it.
I want to be in jeopardy with you because you almost give the answer, but you get it wrong. And then I'll just sneak in and get it right.
Lay in the weeds and hammer me.
Alex Trebek. Ooh, I'm so sorry. No, it's not. Rosie O'Donnell.
Mulan.
Little Mermaid?
Nope.
Lion King.
That's Ellen DeGeneres right there with the love voice. No, that's Tarzan also. That's Tarzan.
Oh. Yeah, man. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. What's the final score?
Right now, it's 9 for the chicks, 2 for the dudes that I gave them both of them.
I got to try to keep her from getting 10. Come on.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
When I hear stuff that funny from the old show, it still pisses me off. But I stop to think that they pulled the plug on that show many, many years ago. How you doing, kids? It is Tuesday, the 13th of July, 2021. You got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight. Yeah. You got the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com. If you didn't hear, a fan fell over a railing trying to catch a ball at last night's home run derby. Pete Alonso of the Mets successfully defended his crown as the home run king. This guy, Stephen A. Smith from ESPN, he's been doing stuff like this for years, and nobody ever people call him out on it, but somehow he still manages to hold on his job. The guy is just so racially charged about everything and seems to find racial disharmony in virtually every single thing he sees in sports. And his latest thing is not, well, it's xenophobic, really. He went into this rant about the fact that Shohei Ohtani, who is the number one story in baseball right now. If you're not aware of this guy, you're going to hear a lot about him tonight because he is the starting pitcher, but he's also the leadoff man. He's got a zillion home runs. He's got stolen bases. The guy's got power. He hits for average. Baseball's never seen anything like this before. And Stephen A. Smith does this rant the other day and says, bad for baseball. Why would this be bad for baseball? Well, because Shohei Ohtani can't speak English. Okay? And if he can't speak English, well, then he can't really become embraced by what? By Major League Baseball? By the fans? Yeah, you'd think to yourself, actually, there's a lot of mystique there. We've seen this happen in other forms of entertainment, certainly in music. What the hell was the British invasion? Okay, they spoke English. You couldn't understand them half the time. But the idea of, you know, things that come from, look at wine. You know, you want French wine. You want champagne, you know. Look at all the anime that's coming from Asian countries. Things that come from far, far away are seen as exotic. And so Stephen Smith, like I said, who's just got this defective gene about things regarding race and people who aren't from here, and you would think as a black man, he would sort of understand what he's saying, but he doesn't seem to do it very often. And oh, by the way, just let me repeat one line here. ESPN Stephen A. Smith says that it's bad for baseball because Shohei Ohtani can't speak English. Let's just say for the sake of discussion that he has a point, right? That you don't speak the language and you have to have an interpreter and it gets sort of clumsy. And how is the all of Major League Baseball plus all of the fans all over the country, all over the world, how are they going to embrace this? Okay, let's just say he's got a point. Right? There's one fatal flaw in this entire Stephen A. Smith rant, and that is that Shohei Ohtani speaks fluent English. You can understand every word he says. He did a speech, an acceptance speech on the ESPYs, and you can hear every word. He speaks fluent, very, very clear English. Whoops! Stephen A. Smith this morning apologizing for what he said. Jesus Christ. Major League Baseball, by the way, has its first Orthodox Jewish draftee. I didn't bother looking up the guy's name, but this all reminds me of something we did with Eric Mink back in the day.
A six-team Israeli baseball league begins its inaugural season on June 24th in Israel. The top 10 signs you're at an Israeli baseball game. Number 10, injuries go untreated because the team doctor is completely surrounded by mothers trying to get him to meet their daughters. Number 8, box seats go for $350, but for you,
$295.
Okay.
Very good.
Number 4, all the players also act as their own agents. Now, see, I like that one. Number 3, in the post-game interview, players aren't thanking Jesus. Number 2, whenever an ump calls a batter out, he follows it up with, "And would it kill you to call your mother once in a while?" And finally, the top sign, you're at an Israeli baseball game. The only hot dog available, Hebrew National.
Now, I...
Does that help?
I was waiting for that.
Der Bogen zum Heulen Lommel doch gehen. Geht mir die Nisslach in Cracker Jack. Will ich gehen, nur von dort gehen, na weg, weil man schreit. Wie wat war die Spiel? Es ist eine Schande, als man verspielt. Weil es ist eins, zwei, drei Streichs bis neus in der Baseball-Game.
Would have guessed that the Hebrew word for Cracker Jack would be Cracker Jack. I love that bit. I love that bit. All right. Something you saw in the Freddie Mercury movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, happened on this date in 1985, 36 years ago today. 1.5 billion with a B, people either watched or listened to Live Aid, the international rock concert in London, Philadelphia, Moscow, and Sydney, Australia, raising $100 million for Ethiopia's starving people. I still don't know how this happened, but you have a very, very good actor in Rami Malek portraying Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami Malek lip-synced to everything and didn't have to dance or do anything. So then they make the movie Rocket Man about Elton John. And this guy, Joel Edgerton, I think that's his name. And he gets nominated, but he doesn't win. He did all the singing, and he did all the dancing. The degree of difficulty, much, much more critical to the performance in the Elton John movie, and he gets nothing but a nomination. And Rami Malek still sort of basking in the reflected glory of his win for Best Actor for Bohemian Rhapsody. It makes no sense to me. All right, back to baseball because of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight, even though there aren't going to be a lot of Cardinals out onto the field. I think a lot of people will watch just out of morbid curiosity, if nothing else. But you may recall back in 2009, St. Louis and Busch Stadium and the St. Louis Cardinals hosted the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and that not only meant we got the game, it also meant we got all of the surrounding events and glitter and everything like that, including something called the Fan Fest. And if you'll recall, the Fan Fest allowed you to come downtown and walk around and have tons of your money taken away by Major League Baseball with, oh, I don't know, your opportunity to make it look like you're on a team. You could go stand there and put your head through a hole and it looked like you were on the team roster. There were a couple of things like that. You could wind up and throw a ball and see that you weren't throwing 90 miles an hour, just as good as the Major League Baseball pitchers. And we had a lot of celebrities, a lot of people from St. Louis, or people who, for whatever reason, ended up in St. Louis playing in the celebrity all-star softball game at Busch Stadium, which you also recall was delayed by rain. But they did get to get out there. And like I said, we started claiming everybody. And at that time, 2009, one of the big stars in Hollywood, still is now, but she was really emerging. And in a lot of ways, America's sweetheart. from the office, Jenna Fisher.
All right, so any athletics in your background from Darings Hall there or in college or anything like this? Or are you just going to go out there and just try not to embarrass yourself today?
Well, I played softball for CPOP as a kid, and that was third and fourth grade. Haven't played since, but I've been throwing a ball around, went to some batting cages. I'm just trying not to look too horrible. I'm going to do my best.
You've been a very, very busy person, and I was just looking at the list of films that you've been in just in the last couple of years. It seems to me like the really, really funny people in Hollywood, the really funny people who've been making these movies that just crack everybody up, have maybe figured out that not only are you really good at what you do comedically, but you're sort of like nice to be around, too.
You know, I have been very lucky because I haven't worked with any bad people yet. Mm. Like, all the people I've gotten to work with... Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, John Heder, all those people are really funny actors and comedians, but really down-to-earth nice people. So I haven't had one of those, like, bad Hollywood experiences where I work with a bunch of divas. I think I'm really lucky.
No. There was a movie called The Brothers Solomon, which a lot of people didn't see.
Yeah.
But it's one of those movies where you're staring at the screen going, no, they didn't. They did not do that. They did not say that. You're in the movie maybe 4 minutes, and it is one of the funniest scenes because you play it completely straight. There's a look of sheer terror on your face as you realize what is happening on this bad first date. Just tell me about what it's like to do something. I mean, 4 minutes, and I remember that scene more than anything in the movie.
Well, I was really excited to get to do that. Bob Odenkirk directed that movie, and I know him, and he asked me to be in it. And
Mr. Show.
Yep, Mr. Show. And I knew I was going to get to do a scene with Will Arnett, who I already knew and loved. And that was hard to get through because Will Arnett is really funny, and Bob's really funny. So on set, the two of them would be cracking me up even before I had to go on to do the scene. So, that was great. I mean, it's cool when you go in for one day of work and you get to do something that, like, pops like that, you know?
What does it seem like when you come back to your hometown? What seems different? What seems the same? What seems comfortable? What do you look at? You drive by and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe that.
I'll tell you two things I noticed. Great water. The drinking water here, tap water, is amazing. It tastes better than bottled water. And also the air quality is so much fresher than in Los Angeles. And it's greener and just prettier. And I think the city keeps getting better and better. I mean, I'm so excited to be staying downtown right now because I got to see that the City Garden sculpture installment. And it just everything is so beautiful. It's just you guys just keep adding things to the city. And it's an exciting place. I love St. Louis.
You're getting hitched again.
Getting hitched again. Yeah, that's right. I am.
A lot of people are not familiar with the gentleman. Tell us who he is and what he does.
His name's Lee Kirk. He's a writer and real good, nice guy and a solid individual. I'm a very lucky woman.
Look at her grinning. Look at you. And now you're blushing on top of it. Jenna Fisher, great to have you back home. Have a great time.
Thank you very much.
Then we moved on to a guy who listened to the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX Radio from his home in rural Arkansas back in the day and is a dyed-in-the-wool Cardinal fan. Actor Billy Bob Thornton.
All right, tell the story. I think everybody's heard it by now, but I want to hear it again. You learned to pitch through a Bob Gibson book or record. What was it?
It was a book. He had an instructional pitching book back in the 60s when I was a little kid, and I learned all my pitches out of that book. Of course, I had to learn how to throw them properly, but my dad was real good about coaching me and everything. So he used to people used to hang a tire up from a rope, and throw through it. My dad put the tire on the ground against a tree with a mattress behind it so I'd keep the ball down.
Keep it down.
Yeah.
Now, back in 1998, you got to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game. Everybody remembers that game because a riot almost broke out afterwards. Not because of anything you did, by the way, but you got a chance to talk with Bob Gibson. What was that conversation like?
Well, it was fantastic. Yeah, I threw the ball to Gibson. He caught the ball for me, and I threw him a slider. I thought he knew I was a pitcher, so I had to throw it. I couldn't just roll it up there. And he complimented me on it. It was pretty great. And after that, he and I, since then, we've seen each other several times, and he's always been very gracious to me and always tells me great stories about when he played and everything. That day in 98, that's when McGuire was booted out of the game. It was first at bat. I remember that. I was going to see Mark after the game. I had his cell phone number. We were going to have dinner or something.
You didn't bother following up.
I didn't even call.
All right. Let's hear a little bit about the band. We saw you on Bill Maher about 2 weeks ago. Great interview, by the way. I think we learned more about you and about your musical background and just sort of your early influences in that interview than maybe anything I'd ever seen with you. The Box Man, we got to talk some John Prine. I feel like trading lyrics with, you know. She was a level-headed dancer on the road to alcohol, and I was just a soldier on the way to Montreal. I mean, big John Prine fans here in the Midwest. Just talk about what's going on with the band these days.
Well, we just got off of two successive tours with Willie Nelson, the Midwest and the East Coast. We're now climbing the charts in the Americana charts. We're at, last I looked, number 24 in the Americana chart and a new record. It's called Modbilly. We're in the process of making another record and have another one coming out at the end of the year, so we can't stop. We just keep recording, and it's going great.
What was the turning point with that band? Because when people heard, oh, yeah, okay, Billy Bob's a musician now, right, sure, whatever, and people just sort of almost sort of laughed at the idea, they ain't laughing anymore. It's just like good music.
Well, I think that one thing that helped, I think, is because I had four solo records out already, so I think people have been used to that for, you know, 8 or 10 years already, so I think that helped a lot with the Boxmasters, the fact that I already had some background in, you know, at least in the major recording world. But, I grew up in music. I sort of accidentally became an actor, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of acting, what do we got on the burners these days?
Well, we're working on a sequel for Bad Santa.
For what?
A sequel to Bad Santa. Yeah, we're talking about that one right now. I think we're probably going to do that toward the end of the year, and, you know, got a couple other things on the burner, just thinking about it.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, and you figure you almost have to have the kid. Can you get the kid back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll get him.
And Lauren Graham in on it, too?
More than likely. We're not sure. It's not written yet, so we're not sure exactly how it's going to work out, but I would imagine. I mean, unfortunately, Bernie Mac and John Ritter both passed on, so, we've got some pretty good ideas on it. I think it might work out nice.
Well, it's good to have you back here in these parts. Have a great time this weekend.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
I start thinking about Bad Santa. You know, nobody knew what was coming in that movie. And we went to a critics screening at the Chase Park Plaza. And I still remember I was sitting next to the lovely Melanie Moon, who was on Channel 11 News for years and years and years. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that her father was some sort of preacher. So they start getting into all the anal sex stuff, and at one point in the movie, she just got up and she said, I gotta go. She got up and she just walked out of the movie. And the other guy we managed to snag during the warm-up phase of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game celebrity softball event at Busch Stadium was the star of both Conan O'Brien and, let's not forget, Talladega Nights, the funny Andy Richter.
All right, let's hear how California is. How's Hollywood?
Hollywood is awesome. Hollywood, it's about time that, I started to live the Hollywood lifestyle and really get started on the plastic surgery. Okay. Head to toe.
Sure.
Getting everything new and tightened.
Describe your level of athletic prowess at this stage of your life.
At this stage of my life, I'm like a sleeping tiger. a fat sleeping tiger. I'm all right. I was just throwing the ball around, and I was kind of, yeah, I don't do that much. In fact, it's usually baseball now is just another way for my wife to tell me that I'm not doing a good enough job as a parent. Why aren't you throwing a ball with him, you know? I never knew that was exactly a American birthright, but I guess it is.
You try to get out of something like this without getting killed or seriously injured.
Absolutely.
Out of all the things that you did with Conan over the years, all those stunts, all those videotaped pieces, did you ever get hurt doing anything?
I dove in the mud at the original Woodstock Redux, you know, the first year that they redid it. I went for a mud bath in my suit, and I got a terrible case of full body poison ivy from that. So that was, but as far as injuries go, that's about it.
Do you remember how they treated that, by the way?
Lotions and creams, you know. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some sort of like, some sort of sleeping venereal disease that got me from my single days.
All right, so you all defense, all offense. What are we going to see in this game today?
Home runs. just home runs all over the place. And a lot, and then errors. I'm first base because first base is like I feel like the lowest risk. You know, it's kind of like the omelet station at a buffet. You're gonna be there. All you got to do is be reactive, and you'll be all right. All right.
Back to the show now. What's the biggest surprise been for you guys about the first, 6 weeks now of the show?
How much fun it is. I think everyone was sort of geared up for a stressful, kind of difficult birth, but it's been so much fun. It's been so great and really... almost embarrassingly good. I mean, I have so many friends out of work, and there's like, how's your new job? And I kind of say, really kind of great. Sorry.
I see that one of my all-time favorite shows, Andy Richter, Controls the Universe,
yes,
is available on DVD now.
It is.
What a great show. I miss it. And, any idea why it didn't catch on? Because I just thought it was some of the best stuff I'd seen in years.
I don't really know. That's what's been one of the things that's been so unique about this Tonight Show experience is that I have never been involved in a situation doing a television show where you feel like the network is as committed to its success as you are. I likened it before to usually when you do a TV show, it's as if you are riding a horse that the network owns. They've bet a bunch of money on you, and then when the race goes off, they start shooting at the horse. And I don't understand it. They got money riding on it. They picked you to ride it, and then they want to kill it. It's always been a baffling process. But this one, it's the Tonight Show. It's an institution. So it's about as bulletproof as a show business job gets.
Andy Richter, have a great time all year in St. Louis. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
So there it is. I thought we'd try something a little different here this morning on the podcast, given the fact that you got the excitement of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight. And as we flash back to 2009 when St. Louis had the hosting chores, and we were pretty well represented there, and the Stars did turn out, and it was a good time, and even though there was a lot of rain, and I still remember that softball game didn't end until like 1 o'clock in the morning. All right, enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back with a more traditional delivery of the J.C. Corcoran podcast here tomorrow morning here at jconline.com, and please continue to do what you do, and that is to spread the word that we are here every morning at jconline.com. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.